We had Floyd Reese on the show earlier today. He drafted our next guest. Back here on 3D, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. We used to actually serve as security for our next guest when he had his player show, when he was the Titans linebacker. The Peter Sermon show live at the Opryland Hotel. There was a long line of people trying to get to Peter. Willie and I served as security. Peter, I don't know if you remember those days, but welcome.
I think you might be a little bit mistaken, too. I don't remember the long autograph lines there.
I never remember you.
I never remember you doing a gosh darn thing for security.
Probably all true.
Yes.
I'm sure you remember the show, though.
I do. I do remember the show.
So what's going on? What's new and exciting in your world as you guys wrapped up your bowl game?
Well, right now we're back into contact period for recruiting. We just came out of the coaches convention, and we actually have some kids on campus for official visits. They're the kids and their parents. So we're right in the middle of kind of going back and forth between that.
Everybody had to experience the early signing period for the first time together. Now that you've gone through it, what did you think?
You know, I think it's going to be a good deal for everybody. The issue that's going to arise is when young guys sign with coaches and then there's turnover at the head coaching position. That's going to, this time, but that's going to be, I think the hiccup in it. But I think it's a good thing. Right now, in years past, it's been babysitting. The month of January, the kids are committed. It's kind of the last barrage of coaches coming in and trying to flip kids. And right now with, most of our kids signed, and I think most across America, a lot of those kids signed. Now it's about them just going back to school, not getting pulled out of class anymore, and us starting to work really on the 2019s and 2020s.
Is it helping, Peter, now that you've been doing this for a while past your playing days, is it helping? I feel like more and more kids are arriving on campus earlier, they're not waiting until the summer. They're arriving early. Is that help in their progression?
It does. I don't know if there's a huge physical difference in those 6 months, but I can say from experience and then just being around it, when you're a 17, 18 year old kid and you get pushed into a new environment that challenges you, you exhibit a lot of growth just mentally and kind of the competitive side of watching, guys have been doing it for several years. You start to emulate them, and I think that's where you see a lot of the development. But, I think in the last 10, 15 years, with the advent of a lot more 7-on-7 and year-round training, the skill level of kids coming into college is better than, for instance, when I came to college. You're seeing better guys. You're seeing guys that can throw the ball, catch the ball, a lot better than in the past.
Former Titans linebacker, now Louisville's defensive coordinator, Peter Sermon on the line with us. We've had a lot of fun this week with some of your teammates. The last time the Titans played the Patriots in the playoffs, we've had some good stories. Rocky Boyman told us he was doing a lot of special teams back then. He was sitting in the heated seats and had his feet in the warmers, and he got stuck when they called for special teams. And he face-planted when he tried to get out of there. We had Drew Bennett tell us that his friends still rag him about the drop pass. They still get on him today about that. They call it the New England drop. So we've had fun with that. What do you remember about that cold night?
Boy, there's a lot. I mean, obviously the game was a very, very competitive game. I think we took him into the fourth quarter. I think we were all tied up. But the weather made it, a unique one for me. I can remember within a series I had my mouthpiece in, and there was a small break in play, and I, when your mouthpiece isn't in, it's stuck, somewhere in your face mask to hold it, and I put it back in, and it wouldn't go in my mouth. I remember trying to put my teeth into it, and I thought, what happened to my face? And then I realized that my spit had frozen into my grooves of my teeth, and my teeth weren't going to be able to fit into that mouthpiece anymore. So it got pretty cold pretty quickly.
Peter, I remember you telling me, too, or telling this on the air, too, that the TV timeouts were normally, there's a little socializing, your chatter, it's okay. It's part of the game. It, the, those tended, it seemed long, right? Those TV timeouts, like, let's go, man. Let's get back so I can start moving around again.
Yeah, and then everyone was, you know, hovering around the heaters like moths to a flame.
So we've been talking this week, and now you had, because you had to prepare this way, the delicate balance of when's the right time to get after Tom Brady and not, because you know you have to apply pressure, but you can't, you know, you just can't be blitzing and just bringing the house because he'll burn you. How difficult, when you guys talked about it that week leading up to the game, how did you guys approach it?
You know, it was always hard to get after. It was hard to get after a couple guys in the AFC at that time, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. You know, it wasn't like, you know, new looks were going to confuse them. They had such a wealth of talent, but then, you know, so much experience as well that even when you pressure them, they know the pressure's coming. It's just a matter of they can execute and you know, throw the ball in some tight windows. So I imagine the weather will have something to do with it, you know, and then, you know, now looking at it from a coaching point of view, a lot of it has to do with how the game's being played. Is the game going to be wide open? Is it going to be a competitive one possession game that, you know, both defenses can get some stops? And the more stops you get, you know, and the tighter that game gets, is going to affect how the defenses go after each other.
Peter, if you got a guy like that, and it's Brady, and you know that, you know, you're not going to fool him very often. What if you can't just simply get the pressure with your front four? Because that's the easy answer. Well, just get pressure with the front four. But if you're not confident you can do that, is it better to gamble and send extra people, or are you better off just saying, you know, we'll have to let them sit back there? We need our seven guys, our eight guys back there in coverage.
Well, I mean, defensively, theoretically, you should always be able to win if you plus one them. If you send more than they can handle with a quarterback and you go to zero coverage, I would have a hard time in the NFL doing that too often or too frequently. I mean, the playoff teams that are going to win, you know, if you bring five and you have five one-on-ones, you know, that's where teams are going to win and lose. That, you know, the teams that have the one-on-ones are going to win more often than they lose. And defensively, to bring six versus Tom Brady on a second and eight, I just don't know if you can survive doing that. Bringing five and playing post defense and playing man and being competitive with your one-on-ones up front and winning matchups on the perimeter, you know, that's what good teams do. So to say that you got to bring plus one, you know, is probably playing into the hands of they're so much better than we are that we don't have a chance, and I would doubt the Titans going like that.
You being a linebacker, you know something about covering tight ends. When you see a guy like Gronk, who's just, you know, freak of nature, who is so athletic and so big, how tough a challenge is that for anybody that's trying to cover him, but especially a linebacker?
It's really hard. You know, linebackers have a little bit different leverage. It's easier for safeties to cover those guys because they come down from the top, and you can mess around with the leverage a little bit because so much of those tight end routes are based on the leverage, what the tight end sees and what the quarterback sees. That as an inside linebacker, really most, you know, 80% of the time your leverage is already going to be determined before the ball is snapped, and the quarterback can see it and the tight end can see it. You know, it's for him, and to stop it, you know, you have to have somebody that can physically match up with it. And even at that point, good quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady can throw Gronk open. So it's going to come back down to guys winning one-on-ones. You're not going to be able to double a tight end very often, and it's going to go back to, I think, the one-on-ones on defense, and if they make a few plays, it'll be a great game.
Well, one thing that happens a lot is, I'm sure defenders, and this would happen in a lot of different sports in different ways, but you try to get a feel for, I guess, how much contact you can make with a receiver, and you see people all the time trying to push the envelope and hold and be as physical as they can with Gronk. Are you willing to take a flag early in the game, Peter, if you're up with him, just to sort of see where that line is with the officials?
I think you have to. You know, and what you find out is the more aggressive you are early, the refs are humans, and they aren't going to want to throw the flag continuously. And you saw that back, I'm going to date myself, you know, the Dolphins, the Sam Madisons and the Patrick Surtains about, you know, 10, 12 years ago. They were extremely physical, You know, I can remember when we played them, we actually, the receivers and offense, they reduced their splits. They went in short motions to eliminate press coverage from occurring because they were so they did such a good job of it, and they weren't concerned with getting a couple ticky-tack 5-yard, you know, illegal hands kind of penalties and just to set the tone.
I had a little fun with Drew Bennett at the end. I wanted to see if he could remember much about the game, so I'm going to ask you.
Oh, snap. This isn't going to end well for me.
Did you sack – not you, did your unit – did the defense sack Tom Brady in that game?
I'm going to say no.
Willie, what do you think?
Brady, just for the record, Brady was 21 for 41. So that's not, you know, that's reasonable success at 17 points against. So that's not, that was a pretty good performance by the defense. But I do not remember a sack. Maybe one.
Zero sacks. Okay.
Okay.
Did New England have 100 yards rushing on you guys combined?
I'll say no.
I say no.
96 yards.
Okay.
And to Willie's point, Tom Brady had 151 yards passing in the first quarter. Did he get 250 on you guys for the game or under?
Under.
That is correct.
Oh, under. Yeah, definitely.
201. You guys shut him down basically passing for three quarters. How did you do that?
Probably good DBs and good pass rush. I wish I could remember the game plan. You know, but if I remember correctly, it was Kevin Falk played tailback for him coming out of the backfield, the utility guy.
Yep.
They had him, and they had Antoine Smith was the other guy that they had.
Yep, Antoine Smith via the Bills, I think, correct?
That sounds right, yes. Yep. And then later went to the Titans.
Yes, he did. He came, yep. You know, but the playoffs, you know, you'll see more matchups like that. I think as the weather turns a little bit, it becomes a little more challenging for offenses to throw the ball. And, you know, good teams deep in the playoffs, you know, they're there because they can stop people. So it doesn't surprise me looking back on it. But he's the Tom Brady's the epitome of a winner, and he finds a lot of different ways to get it done.
Peter, before we let you go, real quick, just your Oregon connection, you know, your observation of Marcus Mariota. What a great performance last week. Everybody's really intrigued to see what he can do this week.
Yeah, it's fun to watch those guys, and you know there's an interest because of the alma mater, but there's also an interest of watching guys translate from being tab system guys in college and watch them transition. And you know, good talented players, I don't really care what system they come from. Some of them are a little maybe a little friendlier. You know, it happens a little bit sooner, but guys that work hard, guys that have the talent, and guys that want to be you know, real pros. He's done a great job of adapting his game and, you know, becoming a true pro football player.
Everything good with the family?
Everything's fantastic.
Awesome.
Everything's fantastic.
Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this as always. Since we haven't had a chance to tell you, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Happy New Year to you guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you do the same. That is Peter Sermon. Right. Always good to catch up with him, Louisville's defensive coordinator. And
good analytical mind. I've always liked picking his brain about football stuff.
I believe, and I was kind of sifting through the stats, I think he was one of the leading tacklers in that game for the Titans.
Well, people may or may not remember, depending how far you go back, but he was a good, solid inside linebacker for the very good, played right alongside Keith Bullock in the scheme, mm-hmm. right, for those 99 through 2003 teams. I think he came in maybe 2000, and before he tore his ACL, I think he was equipped to probably have another 5 or 6 productive years. Came back from the ACL, wasn't quite as good, and that sort of that ended his career earlier than I think it would have. But, man, he was a good, solid pro linebacker.
He had 7 tackles, and from what I can tell, that looks like it led the team in that game. Does that sound right?
Yeah, could have.
7 tackles?
Yeah.
How about that? 151 yards passing in the first
yeah,
quarter.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
And finished with 201, Tom Brady.
The Titans were down 14-7, tied it up in the third quarter. And as he said, it was 14 all going to the fourth. I can't remember the last drive. I'm trying to think of, because they barely got in field goal range. It was like a 47-yard field goal by Vinatieri that put him ahead in the fourth quarter. So it's not like they gave up a lot.
No, that's right. It was, you know, they basically shut him down. It was a 46-yarder by Vinatieri, and that was 4:17 into the fourth. And remember, mm-hmm. the Titans, that drive, the drop, would have kept it alive, and that would have been interesting to see what the Titans were able to
right.
do if that drive was
And remember,
alive.
We pointed out yesterday that the Titans had a field goal blocked, an easy field goal mm-hmm. blocked in the game earlier.
That's right. Pick six, that's next.